Come on, let's just pray for Pastor Michael as he comes to share. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful blessing of your presence with us, an opportunity to just to lift you high in our worship. But Lord, thank you that now we've got this opportunity to hear something from your word that can transform our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that there'll be a sense of openness and readiness and expectation to receive what you prepared in Pastor Michael for each of us in this place tonight. So we pray that you bless him and move on to. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, let's just encourage Pastor Michael as he comes.
Do you want this one?
Good evening. Trust you're all well. I'm glad about that. Tonight, in the middle of remembering the past, we're a Christian church, we believe the Bible, and a lot of the Bible, in reality, is not so much concerned with the past, but the future. And if you've got your Bibles with you tonight, and you can turn them to Acts chapter 1. We're grateful for all of the sacrifice of mankind over the years, and what they sought to do, theoretically to bring peace to the world, but we know there's only one that can bring peace to the world, and that's Jesus. We live in difficult times in our nation when there's confusion politically and in many other ways, which doesn't really help at all. But you know, God is a God who is above it all and through it all, and he has a plan. And as we've already heard tonight, just because the cloud is covering the stars, and just because you can't see, it doesn't mean he isn't here. When I'm talking to people who don't believe in God at all, and they say, well, I can't see him, and I say, but you can't see the 15 pounds a square inch of oxygen that's covering your body. If it wasn't there, you would be dead. But you can't see it. And they look and they go, well, I say, get a negative and a positive piece of wire. You can't hold them apart. You can't see anything. Put them together and you'll get a bang. And the reality is that when we talk about the living Christ, and we're grateful because, as Pastor made the point already tonight, because of his sacrifice, that gave us a future. And here it is, Acts chapter 1. And I'm just reading from a few verses because of time. And Jesus is with the disciples. They're on the Mount of Olives. And he's talking to them, and he's explaining to them the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them when he leaves them. And he was saying this together, and he's being very careful about it. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men appeared dressed in white. And the men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go. That, my dear friends, is our future. There's going to come a day, very, very soon, when Jesus will return. And I love the reality that he is that lovely risen Christ, and he will keep his promises. Whenever we talk about things and we sometimes look at the world around us and we see circumstances, we can get ourselves very, very worried. But I am saying to you tonight, in Jesus' name, you don't need to worry. Apart from anything else, the Bible says it's pointless, just in case you didn't know. It says you can't put anything to your height. You can't make any difference to the feeding of the birds or anything else. They don't worry. And it's a God thing not to worry. Be concerned, but don't worry. Worry will drive your stomach into knots, give you gray hair, make you very ill. Being concerned is normally something that says, I'm going to look at the angles of how and what I can do. And through Christ, as we heard this morning, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. So here we have the disciples, and they are on this mountainside. They're listening to him. They've heard this marvelous moment when he says, when I go from here, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Beautiful thing is that because Jesus was there, they didn't need the Holy Spirit as such. But when Jesus went, oh, they would need that power. Because the Holy Spirit is here tonight. Jesus, in his glory, is by the right hand of God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the very embodiment, right here, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has absolute power. When God said, let there be light, that's the person, the being, the power that made it happen. When we look at this scripture right here, the disciples are looking and they've gone through a bit of a bad time because they thought they'd lost Jesus. They thought he died and he wasn't coming back. And then suddenly he's alive again. And that confused them. Thomas, bless him, he got himself in a right mess. And he said, unless I can see him and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, Jesus appeared and said, come on, Thomas, then do it. That frightened him even more. The fact is that whenever we challenge or we are challenged, God always has an ability to answer and to change the world. These men were standing there looking up, and then these angels, these two men in white apparel, and by the way, angels don't have wings. There's only cherubim and seraphim that have wings, okay? Whenever anybody saw an angel, they saw a man, because God does that because we're human. And that helps us quite considerably. And so they're standing there, and they're looking at these men. They're saying, why are you still standing looking up there? This same Jesus will come again in the same way as you've seen him go. I've stood on the Mount of Olives. I've been there. And, you know, there is this real sense that you could just imagine that moment. But it's a bigger story than that. We're living here today, and a lot of Christians think, well, it's going to be a long, long way away when Jesus Christ comes back again. Excuse me? Not so. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus particularly spent a lot of time talking about it. He says, be very careful. Don't get yourself into any difficulty. Don't listen to what everybody tells you. And he says, there's going to be a time when those days were not shortened, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, that's the church, the body of Christ, those days will be shortened. And he goes on. This is Matthew 24, in case you're wondering where I'm getting it from. And there in verse 27, it says, for as the lightning comes from the east and can be seen in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. There's going to come that time when Jesus comes to the clouds and he stands there. And the Bible says every eye will see him. Now, when this was written, it would seem totally impossible for that to happen. How could that be? For goodness sake, we've got people in the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere, and there's people in the dark and there's people in the light. How can they all see him? Well, his glory will outshine the sun. But it isn't just that. You see, God knew that in our cleverness, which he gave us, by the way, we will have all sorts of technical things, like satellites. And when you realize that when Jesus comes into the air, those satellites will see him. Those images and the thing that drives your car and tells you which way to go, normally wrong, but the reality is that all of that technology is out there. And it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, he will be seen. For he's going to brighten and light up that sky. If it is dark and if the sun is shining, there will be a brightness way, way greater than that. And he's going to come. And the Bible says that in that moment, the trumpet then will sound. He's going to send his angels to the four corners of the earth and gather together all those that love him and believe in him. The Bible says in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. Now, here's the point. Jesus isn't coming to the earth at this point. He's in the sky. We're drawn to him. And those who know about magnets will know, of course, that if you put a magnet over a piece of metal, it will draw it to it. And you, as a loving person who loves the Lord Jesus with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, you have within you the very core of God and the Spirit of God that says, when that moment comes, like that magnet, you will be drawn to be with him. And those who don't believe in him, the Bible says, and it goes in Matthew, you can read it when you get home, when you're having your cocoa, and you'll see there, it says that there will come a time when there will be two people working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. You know, the American Airlines, they don't like having two Christians at the front. And they're always worried about that. Well, they have good reason to, I suppose, but I don't think God's going to let things come to that destructive power. It doesn't matter. The reality is there's going to be those who'll be here, and they're suddenly going to find that the person next to them, the person they thought they knew so well, has gone. There was not a major noise. Their trumpet will sound, but who will hear it? We don't know. But the angels will do what they have to do and ensure that everything is in order, because that is a God plan. So we're here. Those are the left. And of course, you're going to worry about how you're going to get it all worked out. Well, I'll explain something to you very simply. God does not use texts. He will not email you. There is no whatever they are. I forget them all. But there'll be no technology involved in this day at all. In fact, technology, in all other senses, will actually be dead. It will be so overloaded with information that the whole thing will shut down. But you know, we, the Bible says, and Jesus made it clear, we must be ready as if we were going to be broken in one night. And if you know you're going to be broken in, you'd barricade the doors. You'd be looking out for the thief. He said, but when I come, it's going to be just like that. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. He said, nobody knew it was going to happen until the moment when the flood came, they were swept away and Noah was saved. And the world, though, we can talk about it and we can live about it. And there should be a joy about us because we have a hope that is eternal, and a hope that says one day soon we're going to see the King, that Jesus, the living Savior, the King of all glory, is going to come to those clouds. Is going to draw us to be with him. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I know that there's people walking around, and Christians have said over the years to me, oh, we don't want Jesus to come just yet. In fact, I had a couple, a mother particularly, and she said to me one day, she said, I don't want Jesus to come just now. I want to see my children go through university. And I thought, well, I don't think God's really interested in whether you've got a degree or not when you get to heaven. I don't think it counts, frankly. And I'm being honest with my dear friends, it doesn't count at all. Because this is something to do with your spirit, not just with your intellect. And I know that that mother, with her children, bless her, I'm talking now, nearly 30 years later, they never went to university. So that was a sadness. But don't try and hold things to ransom. Don't ever say to God, well, don't come just yet because I'm not quite ready. I haven't got my best suit on yet. Ladies, you won't have time to change your dress. I'm sorry. In fact, I've got news for you. You're going to be reclothed. That'll be nice. You won't have to go and get measured. It'll fit you perfectly. It'll be a robe of righteousness, white and beautiful. And transformations are going to take place on that day. The people that have died, we are celebrating at this time, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be rebirth. Pieces will be put back together and we will join them in the sky. I have a spastic brother, my oldest brother, and we made a promise and we said that when we get to heaven, we will have a race up Hallelujah Boulevard. I think I've said this before, but the truth is that probably there isn't a Hallelujah Boulevard, but we'll name one for the day. Because he couldn't walk. And I'm looking forward to the day when I shall be able to run with him. That'll be good for me too, with a replacement hip and knee and all the rest of it. But you see, when we get that moment, everything's going to change. Your mortality will take on immortality. You will be able to go through those clouds without any bother. How could Jesus do that? I'll let you into a secret. He had no blood in his body. And it's the blood, the oxygen, the requirement that you have to do those kind of things. Couldn't do it otherwise. But he, on that day, when he stood there, he had this wonderful body. He had the ability to have breakfast with them and all the rest of it, walk through doors, and now here he was, gone. When he returns, we join him in the sky. That is what we call the rapture. It's not a word you'll find in the Bible, but that's what we call it. We go to be with him. Our imperfections of humankind will have gone. We shall be like Jesus. He was 33 and a half when he died. I'm not suggesting we're all going to look 33 and a half, but we just might. And for some of us, that will be quite a blessing. For those who are younger here tonight, probably not so much. But the fact still remains, that's how we will be. And you'll see me in my real form, and you'll look just as you really should be, beautiful, handsome, tall, debonair, whatever. But you see, when we see the King of all glory, as we will on that day, the Bible says it will be worth it. We used to sing a song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. When you see him, he will be beyond your understanding. Dove gray is hair, eyes that are deep blue, and he will have a voice, the softness of a brook running over the waters. When Jesus comes and he talks to you and looks at you on that day, you will bow down, you will be humble before him, you will be overtaken, not because he's beautiful, but because he's holy. The power and majesty of Christ on that day will so outshine everything else. It will be like when the time when the transfiguration took place, when Jesus had a conversation with Moses and Elijah, and there they were talking, and the transfiguration, he changed. And the three disciples that were there just couldn't believe it. It was so wonderful. But that's the reality of how it's going to be. However, I haven't got time tonight to go into it all, but it isn't the end of the story, because in fact we do come back. Now, you didn't want to see Long Eaton again, did you, when she'd gone? It's funny, when we lived in Scotland, all the people and the young people who were studying for college and all the rest of it, they all came south. And when we said to them, right, now go back to Scotland and evangelize, and there was no chance. Funny old thing, that, isn't it? But you see, when we come back, we're going to come to reign with him. And we will do that for 1,000 earth years. On that day, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And it will split. And it will go north to south. And when you're in Israel, and you're standing looking south, to your right is the Mediterranean Sea, and to your left is the Dead Sea. The Bible says that on that day, there will be this huge rift that will appear, and the waters will flow from the Mediterranean Sea to the Dead Sea, and it will live. All in this marvelous moment, a demonstration of God's almighty power. And even today, at this moment in time, there is already a stream that runs underneath the Mount of Olives, and we'll make room for that to happen on that day. And it says in Zechariah 14, we will all return with him, and his saints will be with him. So you will be there. You'll see it. It will be something that will be just wonderful. And then we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, I know that if you go into Scripture and you go through it all very carefully, you'll find that the nations of the world will have to come and pay homage. They'll have to come and they will have to bow down to the King of Kings. But where are you? Well, you might be the Lord Mayor of Nottingham. Or whatever it is that God decides and how it's going to work, we don't know. One thing I can assure you, there'll be no night there. People won't die because they're old or sick. It's going to be in a totally different world. It's when Satan has already been bound and he's been cast into that pit for the time being, chained up. But then they let him free for just a little while. And the funny thing about humanity is that despite all of the wonderful time of no sickness, no wars, when he comes out, he will still be able to take the people's minds. And they will want to follow him. But that doesn't work. Then there's a final reckoning. I can't go into it all tonight, but I want you to concentrate for the first thing, because the most important thing for you tonight is for you to know that if your heart is right with him, if you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, then that truly is going to happen, and you will go to be with him on that day. And it matters not whether you before that have to go into the grave or to be cremated, whatever, for it, the same thing will happen. It's just you'll get a head start. The rest of us will catch you up. It doesn't matter. The hows and the whens, it's the point that matters. Jesus is coming soon. Now, in Matthew 24, you'll see that Jesus warns you and he says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places, famines and so on. And since our recent time of history, there was an old volcano years and many, many years ago, a couple of millennia ago, and there were people that died. But we now have volcanoes all over our world today that have not erupted before but are doing now. Our earth plates are moving still. The Bible talks about the earth being in a pain of pain, like a mother giving birth to a child. Hebrew Melmasa. And it talks about the fact of how the earth is struggling. Well, you're living in it. This is now. The wars are out there. We're talking about them today. Those that have passed, the conflicts that have happened over the centuries of time. But Jesus said this is going to be so, so intense. And it's right here and now. We have things happening today, all the knife crime and things like that in our nation and across our world, so much devastation. But it's all, as Jesus has put it, symptomatic of the time in which we live. And he says, when you see these things happening, look up, because your redemption draws near. Don't keep pretending you can put it off. Don't think that somehow, somewhere, God is going to say, oh, well, bless them, I'll give them another couple of years. We don't know that. We really don't know that. There's no prophecy in the Bible that has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. There's nothing to stop him before I finish talking. That trumpet to go. And we've gone. Nothing to stop it at all. When that moment comes, it will be done. Jesus doesn't know, by the way, the time when he's coming. The Bible says, and he made it very clear, Jesus said, I don't know when. Only the Father knows when. So right there today, if you will, he is standing at the right hand of God the Father and just waiting for Father God to say, go. And when he does, it will begin. And we will be gone. Now to me, that should be a moment of joy. It should be something that thrills your soul. If it terrifies you, you've got a problem. Seriously. The hope that you should have in your soul, this wonderful hope, Jesus is coming soon. When I was 4 years old, living in Margaret Avenue, it was one of those stormy days, I remember. I was a little boy playing with my couple of little dinky cars I got. That was all I got. I was sat in front of the fire. And I didn't have all these things the children have today. It's good to see, by the way, we're training our musicians at an early age. That's really, really good. But yes, I was sat there, and it was so thundery outside, dark and awful. And then suddenly, into our room, there was a shaft of light came through those awful clouds. And I thought, oh, my, my. I got off the floor, and I went onto the study that was under the window in Margaret Avenue, and I looked up, and I said, Mummy, is Jesus coming now? 4 years old. I'm nearly 78, and I'm still delighted to say that he is going to come. As a child, I didn't know the implications. He couldn't have come because Israel wasn't formed in 1948, so he couldn't have come anyway. But I didn't know that. I was only a little boy. But what I did know was that Jesus was going to come. What I did know was that he loved me. I didn't know deep theology. I didn't have to know. Look, you need to do like Pastor said. Read your Bible, look at it prayerfully, and look at it carefully, and let the Holy Spirit show you what he wants you to understand. That's the first. But don't worry if you don't know it all, because I'm going to let you into a secret. None of us know it all. None of us. And even so, what translation are you using? What interpretation are you using? I mean, for goodness sake, who cares? The fact is, this is the book. It's the inspired word of God. Read it and let the Holy Spirit show you. And he will keep you straight path until that moment when that day comes and Jesus comes to take you home. It's very, very simple. Don't make it complicated. Because it's not. It's a simple Bible truth. Spoken of right from the Old Testament, right into the New Testament. Paul picks the theme up, and then you go to Revelation, and then you see that great moment. And there's all the sorting out of the sheep and the goats and all the rest of it. And we go to the great white throne, and we stand there before him. And I'm just waiting for those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. That's it. There's a lot more stuff we could talk about tonight, but we really don't have time. I just want you to know that as we remember all these things of the past, correctly so, the most important thing, as his pastor's already said, is that Jesus died for you on the cross. And he rose again from the dead. And because he lives, you can live also. And there is a hope, which is eternal. And it's hope that is for today. And the signs of the times right now are very clear that coming is very, very soon. When I was four looking out of that window, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was way, 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 way over there. Here we are in 2019, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is right here. It's that close. We used to talk about 5 minutes to midnight. Well, that 5 minutes has gone on quite a long time, and I'm not going to speak for five more minutes either. I just want you to know that as we look at all these things and reflect on the past, your hope, your passion, your vision should be for the future. May the Lord bless you all in Jesus' name.
Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just come. If the worship guys would come, that'd be great. We just come, and in the light of what Pastor Michael has shared tonight, we want to be obedient to you, Jesus. Again and again, you would say, be alert, be awake, be prepared, be active. And so in response to him, Pastor Mike sharing tonight about your coming again, your restoring all things, your coming for your church, you bringing all things to a conclusion. For we just pray that we would be found to be spiritually awake, spiritually alert, and active. Forgive me, Father. Forgive us, Father God, if at times this is an area that we've forgotten, or I have forgotten, an area that's been put to the side. And it makes me sleepy. It makes me not to be alert. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, tonight that you would, you say, wake up, O sleeper, arise, arise, and cause your church to arise. We awaken to your great love, your great desire that you gave yourself, and you're coming back again. You're not going to leave us alone. You'll not leave us. And we say thank you so much. And so now we ask for an awakening, an arising in our hearts and in our minds and our lives and our spirits. And not only an awakening, but we'd be active. Just Holy Spirit, come and take my life, take my heart, take my mind, take my hands, that I might be able to, if you could die for me, Jesus, then I want to live for you. We want to live for you. And so this evening, we lift up our eyes. We lift up our eyes to see you. Awaken us, we pray. Enliven our hearts, we ask. In your name, as we give you our lives, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to bring our tithes and offerings this evening as well. The welcome team would serve us. That would be great. If you're here for the first time, then you let this basket go by. But it's an opportunity for us to continue to give as well. So should we stand and awaken our hearts and arise, O church, in the light of what Pastor Michael has shared tonight. Thank you.